So I think I've got 2 out of 3 now. Robbie Mixon, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good morning. And what about Emily Garrity?
I'm here.
Okay. Can one of you guys text Kyra and let her know to call 235-7721?
Yes, I'll let her know right now.
Thank you. Matt is standing by to take her call. And if anyone has any questions, let me just start again. Welcome to the coffee table. Now it's 9:08, and this week, local foods in Homer this summer. Guests are Robbie Mixon, Alaska Farmers Market Association and Food Hub Director, and the director of the Homer Farmers Market. Also, Emily Garrity from Twitter Creek Gardens is on the line. And it looks like we're just about to grab Kyra Wagner calling in right now from the Homer Soil and Water District. She's Homer Soil and Water District Manager. Kyra Wagner, are you there?
I am.
Good morning to everyone. And, you know, thank you so much for your patience and all the listeners. As we're figuring out new ways to do things, sometimes they don't go forward the way they're supposed to, even if they worked last time. So it's that time of year. Homer Farmers Market is opening up, and I want to briefly have you guys introduce yourselves. First of all, if you have any questions for the panel this morning, you're going to need to email them to info@kbbi.org. First off, Robbie Mixon, you have a list of titles here: Alaska Farmers Market Association Director, Food Hub Director, and Director of the Homer Farmers Market, right?
You got it.
How long have you been collecting titles like this?
Well, this will be my 10th season with the Homer Farmers Market, and for the Food Hub, we're just starting our 5th season.
Great. And so the Food Hub is through, or it's a program developed by Cook and Let Keeper, right? Also, is the Alaska Farmers Market Association also through Cook and Let Keeper?
Yeah, they're both our host organization to get these projects off the ground.
And Kyra Wagner from Homer Soil and Water District, can you introduce yourself briefly and let people know what your interest is in all of this?
I am just an avid fan of local food, and so at Homer Soil and Water, I get to work with a lot of farmers and on different subjects with Robbie around the state and in our area on local food systems and how to improve them and strengthen them and keep our farmers moving forward.
Well, thanks, Kyra, for being here. And Emily Garrity from Twitter Creek Gardens, can you introduce yourself briefly?
Sure, yeah. I mean, you basically said it there. Emily Garrity, owner and operator of Twitter Creek Gardens.
What comes out of your garden?
Oh, geez. We have a list of about 40 different kinds of vegetables. So our commercial product is vegetable.
Great. Now, the first question I'm going to ask, I'll direct it to Robbie, but I'm also going to be calling on Kyra Wagner and Emily Garrity to put in their 2 cents. So why buy local? Robbie Mixon.
Why buy local? Because our state imports 95% of our food from outside. That is a ton of money, almost about $2 billion that leaves our state. So if you can buy local, we support sustainable communities and grow our economies while improving our food security. So food security essentially means the ability to feed ourselves without relying on a lot of outside help.
And I want to go to Kyra Wagner as well, because our food security, given the viral pandemic, it may be tested this summer.
Yes, it's been really fascinating to watch. Everybody is really waking up to this issue at this time, as everybody hoarded and then saw blank shelves in the grocery stores. Grocery stores are not locally fed sources, so even though they may sell some local food, they're not going to be able to feed town with local food. So supporting those farmers rather than just our supermarkets is definitely something, besides the fact that the food that our farmers are producing is so much fresher and so much more nutritious and higher quality than any food that you can get in the store, just because of how recently it was harvested. The soils we have are amazing. You know, there's so many reasons to buy Alaskan food.
And Emily Garrity, Twitter Creek Gardens is a local garden producing local food for local people. I don't think you can get a better explanation for why buy local than that. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think Kyra and Robbie said it pretty well, but I think that people are really interested in seeing, you know, food directly from farmers, two hands or four hands or however big the farm crew is, going right into consumers' hands, so really taking out those extra steps in the transport and all of that. So, yeah.
Thanks a lot. So I do want to say that Emily Garrity is producing vegetables at Twitter Creek Gardens. Also, Robbie Mixon, you work for Blood, Sweat, and Farms, right? What comes out of that farm?
I actually don't work for them, but...
Oh, Blood, Sweat, and Food.
Blood, Sweat, and Food has a wonderful chickens that they sell, goose, they have rabbits. They also raise pigs and sell piglets.
Great. And Kyra Wagner, are you a high tunnel gardener?
I have been known to do that. Avid gardener, love bees, love gardens, love high tunnels. Yes, it's true.
And are you producing anything for the markets this summer, or are you just the premier super fan?
I'm just the premier super fan.
Okay.
I love to grow my own food, but I also love to get the things that I don't like to grow from the farmer's market.
And Robbie Mixon, I want to start with you. Can you give a brief overview, and then we'll go over each one of them a little further down the line. But can you give a brief overview of locations, days and hours of operation of various local food outlets like the Homer Farmers Market?
Sure. Yeah, the Homer Farmers Market, if folks don't know, we're located on Ocean Drive just across from the washboard. This year, we're going to be opening on May 30th. That's a Saturday, and our hours are from 10 to 3 p.m., and we're asking that the first hour be reserved for our elders and folks that have a higher health risk. And then our Wednesday markets, which will start on July 1st, it will be from 2 to 5 p.m., and then our food hub, which is essentially an online farmers market. We operate, we're open now. We have pickup locations in Seldovia, Homer, Nanilchik, and Soldotna. And our ordering cycle runs from Friday at 12 p.m. to Monday at 10 p.m. And our pickup days are on Wednesday afternoon.
And then there are other food stands or other ways to access local food. Can you name any of those?
Sure. I know right off the top of my head, one of my favorite roadside stands is Oceanside Farm out east. They're about 5 miles out east, and it's run by Don and Donna Ray. There are several farmers that are offering CSA, so that's a community-supported agriculture. So what you would do is pay up front for your seasonal share, so that helps spread some of the risks that farmers undertake in growing. So that usually looks like a weekly seasonal box. You get whatever is in season that the farmer's growing, and it's a great way to ensure you're going to get some produce throughout the season. I'm sure Kyra might know some other ways she might want to share.
What do you say, Kyra? Can you name any other local producers?
Well, there are... herd shares as well, if you know somebody who's raising animals that have dairy products, so you can get milk that way. Similar to a CSA, you pay for part of a cow or a goat, and you can get a portion of that milk. So those are the most common ways around here to do it. Contacting a farmer and asking them what they're up for doing is probably key, because some farmers have online sales, some farmers have specific CSA boxes, and some farmers have it so that you tell them what you want each week and they create a box for you. So kind of depends on the practices of each particular farm.
And Emily Garrity, where are Twitter Creek Gardens vegetables going?
So we have a CSA subscription, like Robbie was commenting on, and that's a weekly box that members will get starting in the beginning of June. We'll be at the farmer's market. We sell on the food hub. We do restaurant deliveries. We'll see how that looks this season, and we have sold to Save You More in the past. So lots of opportunities to eat our produce.
Thanks, Emily Garrity. So let's start with a little more in-depth. Homer Farmers Market. Robbie Mixon, I guess we'll start with you. It's going to look a little different. Can you go into detail about what people can expect this season, new procedures and practices, and ways to pay?
Sure, yeah. We've had to take quite a few safety precautions this year, so that means we've downsized our market a good bit. We're opening with about 20 vendors and focusing on agricultural products as well as some of the packaged prepared food. We've had to space out our booths about 10 feet from each other to allow for adequate social distancing. All of our vendors will be wearing masks, and we are asking that all of our customers do too to protect our hardworking farmers. As far as payment goes, several of our vendors are moving to touchless payment options or online prepay, that sort of thing. Given that there's so many touches with our coin program, so that's where you bring your credit card to the info booth and run your card for market coins, we are suspending it at least to start with. So please bring cash in small denominations or your checkbook if you're a local shopper. So, and I mentioned the first hour for elders and for folks that are at risk. We'll be having tons of hand sanitizer around the market and a couple more hand washing stations. And we're also asking folks to shop solo. So if at all possible, just send one person from your household and also try and limit your time to 20 to 30 minutes inside the market just so we can get folks in and out. We are eliminating our music and our kids' activities and our Chef at the Market demos for the year just to reduce the amount of time folks hang out at the market. So while we love, love, love the community vibe that we've built over the last two decades, we're just approaching it in a little different way this year, and we hope to return to our big festive atmosphere as soon as it's safely possible.
And so what about, will there be vendors there who are serving things or selling things that are just to be eaten at the market?
That's a great question. Given the DEC guidelines, there should be no food consumed on site. So we are not opening yet with any hot food or hot beverages. We will be reassessing it after the first market and then also every month thereafter because we see how quickly things are changing around the state. So we want to maintain some flexibility to expand or contract what we're offering based on what's going on with the pandemic in general.
And Kyra Wagner and Emily Garrity, especially Emily, I'm sorry, I didn't take notes when you were talking before. Are you participating in the farmers market, Emily?
I am, yes.
And how have your procedures changed or practices? Are you making a new list of the ways that you do things?
We are. Robbie and the Farmers Market Board have given us a really detailed protocol on what to expect or what we should do to vend. So it'll be a touch list as far as customers will come to our booth and we'll grab all the vegetables for them just at, you know, them pointing to it and we'll bag for them so they won't have an opportunity to touch everybody's produce. And then as far as payment, we'll be able to take Venmo or Apple Pay, some touchless options. We'll encourage prepaid punch cards, and We will be able to take cash and credit cards right at the booth, but ideally it's as touchless as possible.
And so I'm guessing, I think this practice is in place for a lot of people even before all of this started. So the person who touches the money will likely be wearing gloves and not be touching the food, right?
That's correct. Or there'll be glove changes between.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of that. Thanks. Kyra Wagner, anything to add as a consumer to the farmers, as a farmers market consumer?
Well, yeah, I have a lot to talk about on this one because there's going to be, it's going to feel so much different for a consumer experience. There's going to be a lot of people who are shaken up by it. We're losing a big festival that we have every Saturday. And it's been really fascinating to watch all of the farmers markets in the lower 48 states that are, you know, they're already open. And during COVID, they've been shut and they've been open and they've been shut and they've been open. And so it was really nerve-wracking earlier this year to see if the state of Alaska was even going to consider farmers markets an essential service along with grocery stores. So the fact that we got that rating was a huge coup, and it was really awesome, and we have to take it with responsibility. So making people as safe as possible is going to be the highest priority for staff as well as the farmers and the customers. There might be people who want to rebel or think it's too extreme, but it's always better safe than sorry. So we're hoping that people really support the farmers, which is what we're focusing on. Getting our agricultural products out to the customers is the main point. So it'll be different, but we're really looking forward to trying some new things with, like Emily said, Venmo and having customer punch cards and different ways to interact with farmers that they can use long after this situation is over.
Also, the farmers market group is a pretty dynamic group. I would imagine you guys hold regular meetings and will be ready to change procedures and practices as needed.
Yeah.
We have held a ton of meetings this spring, just monitoring the situation. And like Kyra said, we've been working with our partners around the country, watching how their markets have adapted and seeing what those best practices are and trying to make those suggestions here in Alaska work. So, like I said, we're going to be reassessing right after the first market, but then again every month to see what needs to be adjusted.
Thanks for that. And if anyone has any questions for the panel, you can email them to info@kbbi.org. Next, let's go to the food hub. What to expect, procedures and practices. First of all, Robbie, can you give a little overview? I know we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago on the news, but to remind people what and where the food hub is.
So the Alaska Food Hub, you can go to alaskafoodhub.org and all of our information is there. But for Homer, our pickup site is at the Sister Ship, which is just in front of the Public Health Building to the right of Two Sisters. Two Sisters kindly donates that space for us to operate out of every year. So that's where folks would come and pick up their orders on Wednesdays from 3 to 6. And like our ordering cycle opens on Friday at 12 p.m. So up until that time, all of our vendors have been adding their products. So we have a range of stuff this year. We have K-Bay Coffee has joined us. So if you have a coffee fix you need to deal with, you can order on the Food Hub. They also have an online store, but we've added Alaska Salt Company, several new jam vendors, and a whole bunch of farmers. We don't have much produce yet since the growing season's just started by, but in the next few weeks we hope to see more and more produce come on. We also have Jackalope Bay oysters and blood, sweat, and food products as well,
also,
along with a bunch of other people.
Also, I was checking the Food Hub site, and there are flowers. And I was speaking to Carrie Thurman from Two Sisters, and she says they are considering providing bread.
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited about that possibility. We're working on getting them set up, and that just we'll get bread over to Soldovia, hopefully, and get it up the road to Soldotna, too, so everyone can enjoy their awesome treat.
Oh, that was my next question. So the Food Hub also exists, well, it's all over the state, but the Food Hub also exists in Soldotna. Are you able to sell up the road as well with what's being produced here?
Yeah, so we do transport some Homer products up there, but they have a whole collection of their own producers and food makers as well. So it's supplied by both Homer and Soldotna vendors up in Soldotna.
And Emily Garrity, what do you expect to be putting into those Food Hub boxes from Twitter Creek Gardens this year?
Well, it changes throughout the season. One of our most popular items that we sell through the Food Hub is like a CSA box, where it's just a weekly collection of what we have available. We call that our harvest of the week. So that'll look like four or five different types of vegetables in one weekly purchasable share. And then pretty much everything we produce, we put a portion of it on the Food Hub. So a lot of salad greens, broccoli, cauliflower, radishes, turnips, is pretty much the whole list.
Okay, great. And let's, Kyra Wagner, anything to add for the Food Hub?
Not much. It's kind of inherently already set up to be respectful of COVID situations. So it's been really fun to watch people in Homer get used to ordering online for locals instead of just from Amazon or something far away. So it's another side effect that actually will benefit our community after the situation is long gone. It's really good to see people ordering from farmers on that very easy to use online farmers market that includes touchless payment and easy distribution curbside delivery. So, it works out quite well at this time period.
And while I have you, Kyra Wagner, can you think of any other sources of local food to recommend to people this summer?
Well, it's interesting. One of the things that's greatly available on the Food Hub right now and will be when the farmers market opens as well as starts, there is a huge boon in local backyard gardening as well as farmers getting food from farmers. So there's been a huge uptick in classes. Cooperative Extension is doing a lot of gardening classes, so tons of people are growing food or at least preparing to grow food. So your local farmers can also help you out with this, can take advantage of getting those starts.
I did see that on the Food Hub that people were selling starts so you can have your own garden going as well.
Exactly.
And Homer Soil and Water District, are they participating in training or organizing?
We do various classes throughout the year. Most of the things that we've been doing lately have been more statewide since everything's moved online. So we have been doing different discussions, like last week was about touchless payments for farmers markets. But one of our biggest programs is our soil testing program. So when gardeners have soil that they're trying to improve and they want to know what's going on, they can drop off a soil sample. And all of our soil sample process has been put online now. So you can don't have to see somebody at the office and exchange money and do all that kind of thing. You can drop your soil off at the office and fill out the forms and pay online.
And can you remind people of where your office is and when's a good time to bring a soil sample around?
You can drop it off anytime because it's an outdoor filing cabinet that we put outside that you can drop your soil off in. So it's a no-touch example of exchange. And as far as our office, it is actually located next door to Laser Print, where Tech Connect used to be on Pioneer. And we're not always in the office. Most of my employees and coworkers are working from home. So feel free to stop by anytime. And if you have questions, you can always call our numbers and all of our phones are forwarded. So you can leave us a message or get in contact with us that way.
And how does a person package and label a soil sample for the Soil and Water District?
That's a good question.
we just need a cup or two of soil from your garden, and then we need you to have your name and a number and an ID on it. There are forms to fill out online, so if you filled out those forms and match your ID from the form to that, we'll be able to keep your soil attached to your name.
And does Homer Soil and Water District, also this will go out to everyone, Robbie and Emily, do they have a someplace where you can get information about what constitutes a cottage industry, who can participate, and how?
I'm going to pass it over to Robbie because the best information is on the Homer Farmers Market webpage and the Alaska Association of Farmers Markets.
Okay, that's to you, Robbie.
Yeah, just what Kyra said. we work really closely with the DEC. For many years, cottage foods were not allowed to be sold. And over time, we were able to prove they were able to allow them at farmers market as a trial, and it proved very successful and has been, I'm not sure what the proper term is, but it's now statute that cottage foods are allowed at markets. And we also, with the Food Hub, have been able to get the first ever variant to sell cottage food online. Normally, that is a face-to-face interaction, but we've been able to prove great traceability and being able to inform the consumer of what they're buying. So for those of you that don't know what cottage foods are, those are products that are made in home kitchens rather than an approved DEC kitchen, and they are products that have very low risk of foodborne illness. So something in the process or the ingredients can help prohibit pathogens. So things like raspberry jam, the sugar content and the process of canning it greatly reduces any risk to the public. So it's a great way for folks to have homegrown businesses, but also to kind of check, test the market out to see if it's something they want to expand into.
So I have
and to find that information, we have it linked on the Farmers Market website, straight to the DEC with all those regulations, or you can just Google Alaska DEC and cottage food, and the first page that comes up tells you all about it.
Thank you. There are some questions coming through to info@kbbi.org. Here's one. L. Slater asks, how organic is local produce? I understand organic certification is a lengthy process, so I wonder if producers would want to put up signage indicating their farming practices. Does anyone want to take that? Or is there perhaps, Emily Garrity, you have a website for Twitter Creek Gardens. Do you put up any information about your farming practices?
We do. We do have some information on our website about our farming practices. And
can you talk about them for a minute?
Sure. Yeah, we, just like Mr. Slater's saying, we are not organically certified, but all of our practices are actually above the USDA organic standard. So we don't use any chemical pesticides or fertilizers. We use all natural amendments and compost. We're basically a no-till, so really concentrate on soil health in our practices. And I would just recommend to consumers to ask their farmers, or even better yet, visit farms if farmers are willing to allow them in the field. It's the best way to do it here in Alaska because there's not a state organic certification program. So you're not going to see a lot of organic certified produce out there because it's just cost prohibitive for us as Alaskans.
And Robbie Mixon, can you speak in a more general way to that?
Sure. On the Food Hub, each of our vendors have their own virtual stall, and there is a place for folks to talk about their growing practices. I know Emily did speak to the cost prohibitiveness of getting certified organic. There are a few farmers that have achieved the naturally grown label, which is sort of a self and peer monitored certification program. But as Emily said, I think the best way to figure out if you want to buy from a farmer is to just speak with them either either on the phone, email them at a safe distance at the farmer's market, that sort of a thing. And there's just so many benefits to buying local, and even if it's not certified organic, most of our farmers are practicing in a way that is sustainable and environmentally friendly without a lot of chemicals. And Kyra might have a little more to say, too.
What about that, Kyra?
This is my favorite topic.
Oh, good. Go for it.
Yeah, no, I always say that the Alaska Grown sticker is better than the USDA organic sticker. The fact is that we don't have the pests that they are trying to fight off in the lower 48. So we just don't have the quantity of pesticides and herbicides that are getting used. Nobody needs to use them here. We also have great soil. So like Emily said, if you pay attention to soil health, you can create amazing soils here, and you don't need to use the chemical fertilizers that are used so predominantly. So when you do talk to a farmer, even if they do use some kind of chemical fertilizer, it's very minor compared to what is allowed under the USDA organic standards for the 448. So I think that the freshness on top of the absolute purity of our vegetables, I give our farmers huge kudos far and above USDA organic.
Right. My understanding is that the organic designation relaxed their standards to over the last, say, 15 years in order to accommodate corporate farms. And so,
exactly.
Yeah. So this is my question. This one comes from me, since Kyra, we could start with you, but anybody else who has something to add to it, please jump right in. So that Alaska Grown designation, that sticker or that label, what's the criteria other than being grown in Alaska?
You got it.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I also have another question to throw out to probably Robbie Mixon and Kyra Wagner, but Emily, jump right in. Jill Burnham wants to know, are there any local herd shares in Homer?
There's a long pause. There used to be cow shares, but presently all I know of are goat shares.
Okay. Anyone else know of any herd shares other than the goat shares? And do you know where a person might find that information if they want to get a share of a goat?
Certainly they can give me a call. I know that Terry Jones raises goats and has sold goat shares, but I can't speak to whether or not she has any open right now. So there's several places that I wouldn't want to speak for until I'd checked with them.
Right.
Yeah, there's also some great programs for buying a share of a whole animal. So I know maybe Kyra can give us some names, that some of the cattle ranchers out at the head of the bay offer you to be able to buy a part of an animal. I know Blood, Sweat, and Food offers the same thing, buying a share of a pig. So that's another great way to fill your freezer with local protein.
Yeah. Meat is an interesting topic here because it's really hard to, you can't sell like pork or beef that hasn't been processed in a USDA facility. It has to be processed there before you can sell it at a grocery store. So our cattlemen and the Blood, Sweat, and Food folks, they can only sell their hogs or their cattle whole or half to the customer directly. So you have to get a hold of a rancher to find your local food. Chickens are a little different. Like Blood, Sweat, and Food, they have a chicken CSA. You can get chickens delivered on a regular basis. But chickens have a little bit easier roll of it, and poultry, you can get those easier. But any beef, you have to call like Otto Kilcher, Chris Rainwater, Akaki Marta Chef, and Mark Moret are our cattlemen in the area that have a cooperative here. And I'm sure there are many others that also sell. So it's the sort of thing where it becomes a word-of-mouth connection to try and get a hold of some protein around here.
Okay, thanks. And what about eggs?
There are eggs aplenty, and those are easy enough to sell. Those are totally legal and have no restrictions on them as far as selling directly to consumers.
Okay, someone else was going to chime in there about eggs. Anyone? Well, then, let's just move right along. If anyone else has any questions, email them to info@kbbi.org. You're listening to The Coffee Table. The topic is local food in Homer this summer. Guests are Robbie Mixon from Alaska Farmers Market Association. She's the director of the Food Hub and the director of the Homer Farmers Market. Kyra Wagner, district manager, Homer Soil and Water District. And Emily Garrity, gardener, farmer, Twitter Creek Gardens. The next question I have is, well, we did address this a little bit, but are local products being shipped out outside of the state or across Alaska?
So I'll answer just from the Food Hub perspective. As I mentioned, we are offering a variety of additional local food products. So, for example, Chugiatch Chocolate that's based in Girdwood, they are now selling on the Food Hub. There's a awesome company down in Juneau called Barnacle Foods, and they focus on creating value-added seaweed products, so things like kelp pickles and sauces and hot sauce. We also sell on our Food Hub from Barnacle, and I'll open up to anyone else, sorry.
Okay, well, the next question I have on my list is, I think Kyra and Robbie, well, everyone should be able to weigh on this, I hope. Is there farm work to be had this summer in Homer?
This is a question for Emily.
Go ahead, Emily. Is there any farm work to be had at Twitter Creek Gardens? Do you hire?
I do hire. My full crew is hired for the season. We also do a work trade program, which is also full right now. But I imagine there's other farmers out there that are looking for help. So that might be looking at the Homer Farmers Market website and just kind of going down the list of farmers and making cold calls. That might be the best way to find it. I'm not sure where else those jobs might be posted.
Okay. Anyone else?
I do often have farmers that call my office, and I haven't gotten any emergency calls for workers yet. I think the COVID issue has revamped the way farmers have had to think about getting their workers. A lot of people have relied on folks coming from out of state and woofers and tourists and things like that. So, or people who wanted to hang out in Homer for the summer and get their hands in the dirt. But that isn't as reliable this year as normal. So I think a lot of folks are hiring quite a bit more local labor and sharing labor between farms as well.
And Kyra Wagner, is there any kind of a clearinghouse actually this is for everybody, other than the farmers market group, is there a group of local farmers, an organized group for all of you?
This is Kyra, and I would say that one of the best places to look is on Alaska Food Hub. It has a producer's page that has everybody's farm listed that sells on the Food Hub, as well as a link to a page about them and their practices and their contact info on that page. So as far as customers being able to see a group of farmers all at once, that's the best place to actually visually link in. As far as farmers working together, there's a fairly loose organization. Homer, I don't know that we have a specific group, but at the same time, we have a reputation of collaborating and working together really well. So it never seems to have been a problem.
So given the CARES Act funding that's being passed and the financial assistance that's being made available if you can get it, is there assistance available for local growers? Anyone want to take that? Robbie Mixon, do you know?
I do know that the USDA just a couple of days ago released a new aid package for farmers. I haven't dug deep into it yet, though. A lot of times we find that these big aid packages are more focused on the large commodity farmers, so folks with, 1,000-acre farms, and it's been a bit difficult to find information on how to support these smaller local market gardens. I do know that the National Farmland Trust has had a grant program going on and still have several other little smaller organizations. Kyra might know a little bit more.
Robbie summed it up pretty well. These regulations change daily. It's really been difficult to try and stay up on top of it. We have held webinars, and by the time we hold a webinar, the rules have changed in time for the webinar.
I can relate.
Yeah, it is frustrating to try and find things for small-scale farmers. All of our farmers pretty much are very small-scale, so they often don't fit into the categories of farmers that they're looking to give financial aid to.
And is there training for vendors? You've been talking about the cashless payments. So there's been training for market vendors. And Emily Garrity, are you seeing, like, will you be applying for funds? Have you identified any that might be available to help you?
You know, I feel like I get an email every day about opportunities, mostly through the USDA. But as far as the long list of information that's, you know, included in that email at a time like this when I'm, you know, 10 hours a day in the field, it's really hard to weed through that. So I haven't dived in any deeper than just the surface, but I think that if anyone is really looking for it, the USDA Alaska page would be a really good place to start.
Right.
So no, I haven't gone too far down that route yet.
This is another example of how small farmers can be left out of that process because you don't already have a structure in place to be seeking out funding and writing for grants and all that kind of stuff. It's time. We're at about 9:50 on the coffee table. So I would like to one more time just review the farmer's market and when it opens and the food hub and how people can access it. Robbie Mixon, can you start with the basic information on the opening for farmer's marketeers?
Yes, ma'am. Our market is set to open Saturday, May 30th. And so that's been about a week and a half. Our hours are going to be from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Again, we're asking that first hour is set aside for our community elders and folks that may be at a health risk, so they can come in and shop when it's a little less crowded. We're going to be following social distance protocol and ask that everyone attending wears a mask. All of our vendors, staff, and volunteer will be wearing masks, and there are some vendors that will not serve you unless you are wearing a mask. So then we will start our Wednesday markets on July 1st. And they will run from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Also, please be prepared with cash in small denominations so we can reduce the amount of times our vendors need to touch cash. We will also not offer our coin program, at least to begin with this year. We will be offering our SNAP program, though, and that's the formerly known as food stamps, and we will be doubling them again this year.
And the state of Alaska is now removing all restrictions for gatherings, I think except for like huge concert-style gatherings. So I heard you say, Robbie Mixon, that some of the vendors at the farmers market will not serve you if you're not wearing a mask. So it is up to the individual vendors, not the farmers market, to make that decision?
At this point, we are just asking folks, please wear a mask. We want to protect the public. We want to protect our staff and our farmers so they can continue to grow food for you all season long. But it is up to the individual vendors to choose if they want to serve someone without a mask.
Okay. And the other thing I wanted to ask is unsold food, does that food still go to the food bank from the farmers market for some vendors?
There will still be a food bank drop-off or food pantry drop-off. So folks that want to buy something extra to put in the bin, we're welcoming that. And we find that a lot of our farmers will often put their seconds or leftover products in that bin as well.
Right, because ugly vegetables are just as delicious as beautiful vegetables.
Exactly.
And I'm going to call for last comments from Kyra Wagner. But before you take off on your tear, I did want to ask about reminding people about how the Homer Soil and Water District can assist growers, home growers, with their own garden if they're buying starts, or farmers, local farmers who are producing food.
Well, we have our soils guy, Brad Kassar. He's the guy that would be getting soil improvement recommendations out to you if you bring in your soils. So we have that service that we offer for folks, as well as just technical support and information about high tunnels and other programs through NRCS, as well as just home gardening issues. So that's always something that you can get from us. You can check us out on our Facebook page, our web page. You can contact us through our phones or email. So even if we aren't in the office, you can always track us down somewhere.
Thanks, Kyra Wagner, Director, District Manager for Homer Soil and Water District. Emily Garrity, I'm going to come back to you and ask for any final comments in just a moment. But back to Robbie Mixon from the Alaska Farmers Market Association and the Food Hub Director. Let's talk about the Food Hub. Can you remind folks one more time, because it's that time of the hour, how they can access the Food Hub? The website has great information, and all the vendors have virtual stalls, so you could check out what they have. And you even said there's some information on some of them about their processes.
Right. So if you go to our website, alaskafoodhub.org, one of the first options you'll see is shop the marketplace. So if you click on that button, it will take you to our online sales platform. So you can view a list of what's available for the week. There's also a tab that says meet your producers. So that takes you to a page with all of our producers across all of our pickup locations, and you can just click on any of those producers and find out information about their farm, a little bit about their story, and also their growing practices.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, in the ordering cycle, just to remind you guys, it opens Friday at 12 p.m. through Monday at 10 p.m., and then you would just pick up your order on Wednesdays down in Old Town.
Thanks so much, Robbie Mixon from the Alaska Farmers Market Association, from the Food Hub and the Homer Farmers Market. Also, Kyra Wagner, Homer Soil and Water District Manager. Any final comments from you?
I'm just a cheerleader for the most part for these kind of folks. Emily's doing the work on the ground, and Robbie's getting all of the markets moving. So I just want to remind people, support them both and support the markets, the various ways that we have to do it to support our farmers and keep ourselves growing our own food.
Thanks so much, Kyra Wagner. And Emily Garrity, any final comments from you?
I just want to say that I really appreciate all of the groundwork and research that Robbie and the Homer Farmers Market Board and the Alaska Food Hub Steering Committee has been doing, and Kyra at Soil and Water, just to keep us all safe and make sure that our customers feel and are safe. And that all we can do is adapt, a wise person said to me last week, and we're doing the best we can to make sure that we can still distribute local foods in the safest way possible through this crisis. So thanks to everybody that's been working so hard to make sure that can still happen.
And thank you, Emily Garrity from Twitter Creek Gardens. This has been The Coffee Table on KBBI Homer AM 890. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Thanks for tuning in. And with further questions, you can always check out the Alaska Food Hub website, and also the Homer Farmers Market has a website, correct, Robbie Mixon?
Yes, ma'am. It's homerfarmersmarket.org, and we're also on Facebook.
Okay, great. And last call, Robbie Mixon, anything else you want to add?
I just want to make the call that, supporting local is important during this pandemic, but it's also important even without the pandemic. So I hope that this big push to support local continues even as this pandemic dies down and hopefully eventually goes away.
Okay, thanks to Emily Garrity, Kyra Wagner, and Robbie Mixon. You guys have a great day.
Thanks,
Kathleen.
Bye-bye.